Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. That's where we are right now. Last week we did Romans 12 verses, 1 through 2. And a couple things that we kind of talked about, we could probably sum it up in probably three things here. One is that we need to totally and be completely consecrated to God as a living and holy sacrifice. We talked about that. Second, we talked about how we are not to let ourselves be squeezed into the mold of this world. That's literally the translation there. Rather, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's where God's word is essential there. Okay, so today we're going to look at Romans 12, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 8. Okay, so let's start off by reading that. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. But just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of it. Let's kind of read that again. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Okay, so here, and this isn't the only place in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, the church, God's family, is described as a what? As a body, like a human body. And that's a perfect description. Because how many bodies do I have? One. How many parts to my body? Well, probably depends on how far you want to get detailed, but you start kind of getting all the cells, you're talking about millions of them. But even parts of the body, you know, fingers, toes, nose, eyebrow, you know, not even counting the hair, two ears, you know, you're probably running 100, 150, 200, you know, different parts of just major. And each of those parts are kind of divided up. So it's one body, yet many parts. And we see this in 1 Corinthians. We see it in Ephesians 4. We see it in 1 Peter 4. And this is really a beautiful description of what the church is. So we are one body with many parts. And I think you can kind of see up here. And of course, the idea is that all parts have to be working, right? For the body to do what it's supposed to do. You know, if all of a sudden half my body decides not to work this morning, you know what happens? I can't even get out of bed. You know, in fact, if it's the wrong half, I don't even breathe. I don't even live. So it's very important that every part of my body working. In fact, all of us have kind of been in a situation where we've hurt something, maybe like a thumb. Real small part of our body. And you don't even realize how useful your thumb is until all of a sudden, maybe it's broken in a bandage. You know, you have a hard time grabbing a glass. You have a hard time holding the fork, you know, or even a toe. Real small. You break your toe, and that can be very painful, can it? Your whole body knows. Your whole body empathizes with your toe. And that's the picture of the body of Christ. We have one body with many parts, and each of us is a part of the body. And according to this, we all have different gifts. We have different functions. That's the way it kind of says it right there. You know, but on the other hand, we all need to be working together as one body. In fact, we have to work together. as my body and as the church for us to be what we're supposed to be. See, the church, and I know we've talked about this before, but let's talk about it again. The church, the world has, when you say, what is a church? To most people in the world, what are they going to say? Oh, it's a building, and it's usually has a steeple. It's really big. That's not the church. That's the building where the church meets, but that's not the church, is it? In fact, the church is not a spectator event where we kind of go and we, you know, okay, I'm a part of this church. That means I kind of go and listen. No, if you're really part of the church, it means you have a part and you're doing something, you know. And by the way, church is more than just a time slot on Sunday morning. I know we hear that. Oh, did you go to church this morning? And what are we talking about? Oh, do we kind of attend a meeting that meets on Sunday morning? And we all understand what we mean, but that's really not the church. The church doesn't exist only between 10:30 and 12:30 every Sunday. The church exists, what, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And that's important for us to know that's the church. The church isn't a building. It's not an organization. Sometimes people say, so what does your church believe? Well, you know, I said, well, the scriptures, you know, but they say it as if the church decides what to believe. Really, the church is people who agree together to follow the scriptures and believe the Bible. So we have all sorts of ideas about what the church is, but that's not what it is. The church is really all those who receive that gift of justification, eternal life. We're in the process of sanctification. These are things we talked about earlier in Romans. And we're all working together, aren't we? That's what a church is. And what are we working for? To help one another, to encourage one another, to disciple one another, you know, to help one another grow in the grace of God and understand the riches of His salvation and to live in Him, to be a blessing and a witness to the world around us, because we are Jesus on earth. That's why we're called His body. We are to be a blessing. We're to be a witness. We're to be a light in the dark world, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And we are one church, one body, all working together, but yet we have many, many parts. By the way, none of the parts of His body are better than another. All are essential. Now, it may be that someone like me, you probably see me more often than you see other people. Not all the parts even get up here. There's people on the worship team, and there's people who do the offering, and there's, you know, people who put together trips to Juarez, and, you know, but a lot of the parts of the body work where you don't even see them. Like, how many of you can see my stomach? Well, not the outline of the stomach. You know, maybe. How many of you can see my lungs? You know, how many can see my brain? You know, my blood vessels. You don't. But you know they're working, right? And that's the way the body of Christ is. And this is what it's talking about here. In fact, it says we are individually members one of another. We are all connected. That's why I kind of like this particular illustration, because one turns, then the other turns, then that turns, and we're all working together. That's the way it has to be. So, two important questions for us. What are your gifts? Or another way to put that, what is your function? That's the way it's said. And are you doing your part? If you can't answer those questions, you know, my recommendation is you need to You need to get more involved. You need to start serving. You know, life's greatest blessings are at stake here, doing what God's called you to do. A long time ago, when I was, I think I was in high school when I heard this, but I still remember it. It was a little quote, God can't steer a parked car. God can't steer a parked car. In other words, if you're trying to kind of steer a car, you need to get it moving, right? And if God wants to steer your life, you need to get moving. So do something, you know. Pick up chairs, volunteer to do something. Just start blessing people, serving people, whatever it is. And then your gifts and your function becomes evident. Now, there's an important, let's go back to verse 3, because there's an important warning here. Let's read it. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, and here it is, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Okay, so it's very important that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that's easy for us to do, isn't it? Whenever we get good at something, or maybe we're just better than someone else, what? We can start thinking we're something. And God says, no, no, that's a killer. That prevents the body of Christ from working together when I think I'm better than someone else. I have a more important part. So humility or Christ-likeness, preferring others, serving others, not insisting on our own way. These are the things that are so necessary to work together in the body of Christ. Because we're all not just distinct parts, but we're all parts connected to one another. That's the way my body is. It's not like I have 80 parts and in the morning they decide to kind of come together and get in the car to go somewhere. No, we're all connected. And that's the way we are as a church. You know, there's a lot of admonitions in this chapter about how we're to treat one another, respond to one another. But the foundation of all of it is not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. If we miss this, the rest of it will not work. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. There's so many verses about humility. I like this one. You young men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. That, we just dress in humility. And then the other part, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You start getting proud, what's going to happen? It's like an invitation for God to start opposing you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God opposing me. I want His grace. And so we've got to walk in humility one toward another. And so this is so important in this chapter of Romans 12 about working together. Now, let's go back to verse 3 in Romans 12. Two other things that we need to see here. First of all, it talks about the grace given to me. And in fact, in verse 6, it says, according to the grace given to us. Did you know that God dishes out grace to each person? Everyone who sincerely gives his life to the Lord, becomes born again, receives the gift of justification, God gives some grace. And what is God's grace? It's His supernatural ability, power, that we don't deserve. But in this case, God gives us grace to do those things that we can't do without Him. You know? And in fact, when we signed up to follow Jesus, He's going to take us in places and He's going to call us to do things that are just beyond ourselves. And we're tempted to say, Lord, I can't do this. But his answer would be, my grace that I've given to you is sufficient for you. I've given each of you a grace. Examples. You might feel like, oh, working with children, I just can't do that. In fact, I've known a lot of young women say, oh, yeah, I'm just not good with children. And then they have a baby, and all of a sudden, God gives them a grace to be able to work with children and love children. And same thing with our children's workers. Some people have a grace to work with handicapped people or with the elderly. God may give you grace to work with someone that's very difficult. You know, that you think, oh, how can I love this person? God will give you the grace to do that. You know, to extend mercy when it's hard. That is God's grace. And he all has given us grace. Now, here's the thing about grace is when it's exercised, and we're going to talk more about this in a few minutes, or when you use God's grace, it multiplies. Did you know that? So you feel like, oh, I could never have grace for that. Well, the grace that God's given you, exercise it. Step out in it. And what will happen, it'll multiply. On the other hand, when God's grace isn't used, it tends to shrink or disappear. We've all kind of heard that phrase, use it or lose it. Okay, that translates okay. You know, like a language. If you don't use it, what happens? You lose it. You know, and there's a lot of things that way, right? There's some things like riding a bicycle, you know, for life. But there's a lot of things you got to use it or you lose it. And that's the way God's grace is. Then the other thing it says in here, it says that God has allotted to each part, also a measure of faith. Again, when we come to know Jesus, when we receive his gift of justification, there's a measure of faith that's given to us. And that faith is something that we can use to pray, to understand his word, and it's also with people. You know, sometimes God may give you faith for a certain person that you, maybe someone else might say, I don't know where they're going to make it. But God gives you a faith to be able to really encourage that person. God's giving you a faith. It's something supernatural, just like grace is supernatural. And again, as it is exercised, it multiplies. That's the way faith is. When it's not, what happens? It begins to shrink or disappear. Again, just like with grace, you use it or you lose it. And if you don't hear anything else about from today, remember this, that God has given each of you a grace. He's given each of us a faith, a measure of faith. And as we exercise it, it grows, just like muscles do. And that's the way, that's why in prayer, God will call us, He wants us to pray and believe him. It may be something simple. And as we do, that's exercise. Then he calls us to pray for something bigger. Or then maybe, then he might kind of put us in a situation that we need even a bigger amount of faith. Maybe when we first came to know the Lord, that was too much for us. But faith grows. Grace grows as we exercise it. So each of us has been given grace and faith to be part of the body, the part he's called us to. But the question is, are we exercising it? So once you kind of begin to feel like, hey, this is my function in the body of Christ, or this is my gift, don't just sit there. Begin to exercise it. He's given you a grace. He's given you a faith. Because all the parts of the body are too big for any of us to do, right? Okay, let's go to verse 6. And this is really kind of just a summary of what we just said. Since we have gifts that differ, all of us have according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then it starts kind of listing some off. So we all have gifts that differ. By the way, the word gift is the same word as grace. Did you know that? In Greek, it's charisma. Charis is probably the singular word for that. And it means grace and it means gift. You think, well, wait a minute, they're different. Well, they're really kind of the same. They may be translated different, but any gift we've given is a grace that he's given to us. And we all have gifts that differ. Sometimes we don't understand one another because their burdens, their gifts are different. But that's where we need to kind of understand that we've all been created differently. That's the way it was designed. And a grace has been given to us. Gifts have been given to us. But we have to exercise it. So practically, how do we exercise what God's given us? These gifts, this grace. Well, a few things you could say. I think one thing, you just need to start doing it. You know, it may feel a little awkward at first, but start doing it. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. You know, well, I'd like to encourage someone in their faith, but I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. That's okay. Jesus let his disciples make all sorts of mistakes. Those of us who are going through the Gospels and house churches, we know that. That's part of growing. That's part of learning. Also learn. Learn from others. See what they do. Follow their example. Also invite input from others who maybe been doing the function you're doing a little bit longer than you have. Keep humble. Remember verse 3, it says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And then take steps of faith. And steps of faith often mean that you step out of your comfort zone, what you feel comfortable with. That's how we're all going to be doing our part. We have to start doing it. Now, verse 6 through 8, we're given some examples of gifts. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality or with cheerfulness, literally it means. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Okay. Now there's other lists given in 1 Corinthians 12 of gifts. 1 Peter 4. Ephesians 4. There's a lot of gifts mentioned in the scriptures. And we could probably add a lot more. The important thing is to know that God has given each of us a set of gifts, burdens, experiences to use in the body of Christ. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, or like results, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one, that means to every one of us, that's what that means, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That means more than just a single gift. It's a set of things that he's given us. Let's look at verse 18. I mean, really, the whole chapter is good, but it says, now God has placed the members, each one of them, notice, each one of them, there it is again, in the body, just as he desires. So, according to this, who decides what gifts you have? God does, right? You don't. You know? And by the way, my experience has been sometimes they change throughout your life, you know, or they're added to as you exercise them. because grace, as it's used, gets multiplied. But God decides. He places you in just, you know, you might say, I want to be a nose. And God says, no, I want you to be a finger. But I want to be a nose. Well, you've got to just do what God wants you to do. If you have a hard time figuring that out, ask other people. They'll tell you. But you need to start exercising them. Okay, seven of these gifts or graces are mentioned here. And we could probably take 7 weeks to talk about that. Let me just kind of mention real quick. The first one is prophecy. That's more than just speaking the future, although it could include that. But those who prophesied in the scriptures, those who prophesied today, it's like they are speaking God's word. It's like a now word from God for a certain group of people at a certain group of time. You know, let me get this back on here. Okay, so that's prophecy. Another time we should probably take some time and just talk about all these more. Serving, most of us know what that is, but all of us are called to serve, but this is beyond the normal. This is a supernatural gift to serve. Teaching, this is an ability, a supernatural ability, because it's God's gift to explain truth. Now, we may have a gift, we may be able to teach. Chewy, for example, could probably teach someone how to work on a car, you know, and that's good. But someone who has a teaching like this is someone who can explain truth of the scriptures where people's eyes are just open. Exhorting. This is a word of encouragement or a word of pushing someone forward that just makes someone, yeah, I want to follow Jesus more. That's a word of exhortation. Giving. Of course, we're all supposed to give, but this is beyond the normal. Remember the stories we've talked about before where someone kind of just decides, you know, I don't want to give 10%. I want to give 20%. And then they're giving 30%. Then they're giving 40%. And God just multiplies it. And you know, there's quite a few people who throughout history and even today, they're giving like 90% of their income. You know, that is a gift of giving. You know, it, to them, it's just fun. They just like doing it. And they're always, does that take faith, by the way? Yes. Does it take grace? Yes. But God, they've exercised it a lot. Okay, there's leading. And again, there's leaders of countries and at work, but this is the supernatural ability to envision people to follow Jesus, to follow Christ in everywhere. Showing mercy. Again, we're all supposed to show mercy. But this is where you just, God gives you a grace and a faith to show mercy when it doesn't make sense. Like how many people have ever seen the movie Les Miserables? Not many? Okay, well, anyway, a couple people have. This is, it's about this guy, he's in prison, he's been in prison, he gets out, he's got this card that everywhere he goes he has to show, I'm a convict. And he goes into this pastor's house, and they, you know, they see him sleeping outside. They say, "Why don't you come sleep?" And in the middle of the night, he gets up and he steals a couple candlesticks, and he, what's that? Silver candlesticks, and he takes off in the middle of the night. He gets caught. They bring him back, and they say, are these yours? And the pastor kind of understands what's kind of going on. And he says, yeah, they were, but I gave them to him. But what I don't understand, I had some other stuff I was going to give you. And he goes back in and gives them other silver pieces. And this convict, he's just like, what is going on? But somehow, this pastor, God gave him a gift of mercy to just kind of believe in this guy. Just to, I'm going to give him extra, you know, and let him kind of, and then after the police leave, he says, listen, you know, God has saved your life for a reason. I want you to take this and I want you to do good out of it. And that's exactly what he does. He invests it. He works. I won't tell you the whole story. It's an excellent story, by the way. And there's several versions of it. But that's a gift of mercy. But there's a lot of gifts. And the point isn't to try to... I don't want to try to explain them all today. But I think the main point in this passage is that whatever we do, our function, our gift, whatever our part is in the body, do it well. With a whole heart. With joy. With cheerfulness. With diligence. With faith. With humility. And as we do that, God multiplies it. And all of a sudden, we become a better body to represent Jesus here on earth. If someone's training for the Olympics, what do? They're doing all sorts of, even off-season, they're cross-training. They're kind of watching what they eat, what they drink. They're exercising every part of their body, making it stronger and stronger. They can do more and more things, right? Well, the church is like a body. First of all, worldwide, but also even each individual local church is like a body. We're one, but we have many parts. All the parts are essential, and they all need to be working together. And God has given all of us, no exception, He's given us a measure of faith, and He's given us grace to be the part of the body He's called us to. And as we exercise those, as we begin to use those, God begins to multiply. God's given us lots of babies in this church. At first, their muscles can't do much, you know, and then we get all excited because all of a sudden they kind of reach their hands for us, you know, they want to be picked up. You know, they learn that first. And then what? They learn to kind of actually move their body around. They can crawl. Then they can walk. And walking lasts about 3 days. And then they just run. You know, and they're running everywhere. Then they're climbing into things. And same thing, they exercise their words that they use. And God multiplies it. As all of us exercise the part God's given us, everyone's important. As a body, we begin to grow, and we can be the body of Christ here on, in this case, in Summit County. We represent Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to heaven, one of the reasons he did it is because he couldn't be everywhere. He couldn't be in Galilee, in Jerusalem, and in Frisco, and in Timbuktu and Japan all at the same time. So his idea is that he left his body here to show the world himself. Sometimes I think we don't really have a very adequate picture of Jesus, but that's because we're not doing our parts. So we need to start beginning to step out. By the way, a lot of times people kind of come and say, you know, Mike, could you assign me, give me an assignment, or put me in charge of something? You know, and, you know, there's a place for doing that. But most important is no one can assign you a part or to appoint, okay, Israel, you're going to be the nose or the ear, you know, and who wants to be the eye? Okay, Allie, okay, Miguel, he's going to be the foot, you know. Because he can kick hard with the soccer ball or whatever, you know. No, you know what? It's God decides all that. And as you get involved, blessing people, helping people, just serving, being a blessing to others, God makes our function obvious. Okay? So, but it takes stepping out. And maybe it's kind of like, hey, does the worship team need any more? Well, not right now. We'll keep you in mind. How about the children's ministry? They need any help? I'm not real good at it, but I can learn. Talk to Brianna. I'm sure she'd probably say, I'll give you a try. You know, But you know what? There's a place for everybody. And if we're not as a church doing all the things we should be doing, it's because there's people who aren't doing their part. Amen? Does this make sense? Okay, let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would open our eyes to the beauty of the church, that you've created every one of us with a function, with a set of gifts. Lord, we ask, Lord, that the church worldwide, but especially for Emmanuel Fellowship, Lord, that we would all be the part that you've called us to. Open our eyes. Show us exactly. And Lord, we want to be able to exercise the grace that you've given to each of us and the faith, that measure of faith you've given to each of us. Lord, we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.